Hello and welcome to What's the Script, the podcast where we try and guess the plots of films we've not seen. My name's Stuart McPherson.
And my name's Stephen Buchanan.
How are you doing, Steve?
Oh, I'm pretty good this week, Stu. How are you?
I'm pretty good as well. You're not hungover anymore, but I am still injured. So you're the one that's in better form this week.
Definitely, I need to carry this. You've got your little... Have you got your mango down your sock again?
Not today. I actually, last week, as soon as we finished recording this, I realised that my flatmate is a runner and he's got proper like those blue frozen gel pack things that are actually designed for this.
Yeah.
So I'd been fanning about for days, squishing mango in my sock for no reason at all.
I meant to ask, was it actual mango that was wrapped in something or was it just straight mango down the sock? No cling
film.
Come on,
Steve. I'm not just raw dogging mango down the sock. Come on, man. There were cubes of mango
and
in a freezer bag.
Right, okay. That's acceptable then. I thought I could just picture sticky mango in your sock.
To any listeners who pictured that last week, I apologise, all right? I wasn't clear enough. I'm not going to eat it, like eating the placenta type vibe.
But if it's covered up, then it's not touching your skin, you can eat that.
But I know where it's been.
Aye, it's
you know
the
what
thought.
I mean? I'm not in such a rush to eat mango that I will accept sock mango.
My pal for uni has a snake and she keeps frozen mice in the freezer next to like the chicken
nuggets.
I hate
that
nuggets.
So much. Oh my God, that turns my stomach, man. That's awful.
That's what that reminds me of.
We've got live mice and we keep them ideally in traps, but we just try not to look.
Is it humane traps?
I don't think so.
How humane is a trap, really? It's called a trap for
Well, exactly. Yeah, what's in that little newspaper for it?
Me sofa.
Foot still. I don't want to be anywhere near this fucking mice.
Yeah.
Mouse.
That's mice.
This fucking mice.
This mice is a piece of shit.
It's a bunch of piece of shit, this mice. I want nothing to do with it.
I think we mice can be cute.
In context.
Sometimes. In context. My cat brought in a mouse, and it was about this yay big. I'm doing this with my fingers, listeners.
About an inch, listeners.
About an inch.
Tiny.
And it was cute.
For the listeners, I actually don't believe you. It's as small as you're saying it was.
No, it was really tiny. It was like a wee...
Was it made of white chocolate?
I hate white chocolate mice.
We should probably stop talking about mice.
And we should start talking about the movie we're watching this week.
Which is?
The Terminator 2, :
Judgment Day.
Yes.
Enjoy the episode, guys.
See ya. Bye. Terminator 2, Judgment Day, Deep Blue Sea, what do you know?
Honestly, all I know is that it's called Judgment Day. I do know that part.
Yeah.
And I know that it's the sequel to Terminator 1.
Yeah.
And I know that it's regarded as one of the better sequels. Like, a lot of people, I think, prefer this to the first one. That's all I know.
Surely. So in the first one, we both thought that he would turn good at some point, didn't we?
Well, I thought he would blow his own brains out on the White House lawn.
Yeah, that's right. Surely it has to be good in this one. Surely.
Well, I had such a bad time writing this plot.
Surely
I really didn't like
you would
it at
think
all.
That would be the case. But then I guess...
I've not got that in my plot, but now you're saying it, I'm thinking maybe I should have incorporated elements of what I thought the first one was into the second plot.
And saying that, like, I was absolutely certain that would happen in the first one and it didn't happen, so maybe I'm wrong again.
Yeah. Fuck knows. Have you got a year?
1991.
I've got 1987.
I couldn't remember when the first one was out.
Me neither. I looked it up and I've since forgotten again. But it's before 1987, put it that way. I think
86?
It's maybe 84 or something. Fucking hell. We've really not learned anything from this, have we?
I've still got the file that I wrote my original thing
on. I would still get that pub quiz question wrong. You know, what year did Terminator come out? No fucking idea.
Fuck knows. Yeah.
Because
like we were saying, like, so we basically started this because we wanted to watch some of the old classic films and be able to talk to them to people when they ask us if they've seen a certain movie. And
yeah,
because
we used to have to lie all the time. No, we're still exactly where we started.
Yeah.
We're trying to change the conversation to be about the Babadook when they're talking about Casablanca.
Yeah.
Also, did we not in an early episode? Did we not have a penalty shootout and we had to guess what Terminator 2 got?
Yeah, we did.
On Rotten Tomatoes? Yeah. All right, well, I've since forgotten that as well.
I've forgotten that. I could have easily listened back. What did you guess? Maybe it's still in the subconscious.
81.
I guess 98. I thought it was dead high, was it not?
My memory of our last... Oh, this is mad. My memory of... This is like two guys in an old folks home, but my memory of my last... Our last conversation of this was that I said what I said at the start of this episode, that from the conversations I've been hearing, people prefer this to the first one. So by that rationale, I think I guessed high, like you have, for the first penalty shootout, and then I was surprised that the number was actually lower than the first Terminator. But this could all be bullshit, though.
Right.
But that's where I am at mentally right now.
Mentally, I thought the sequel had more percent than the original.
Shall I check?
Live on no. air. Yeah, let's do it.
So the original Terminator... I'd just like to say... Fucking hell. Oh, of course, the original one's got 100%.
Does it?
Do you remember? Yeah, because we were talking about how fucking weird that is. It's from 1984, so I was right on that. Terminator 2, 93%. So you're closer... But my logic was correct, if you know what I mean. It is lower, but I'd forgotten that the original one had 100. So obviously it was going to be lower. And it's from fucking 1991, you absolute PS, man.
Do you know why I said 91?
2-0 to Steve already. Let's just call it.
Why? Because that's the year I was born.
Right, you old fuck. Old fantasizing about Patrick Swayze in the playground. I forgot you're old.
What age are you?
27, mate. I've got my whole life ahead
fuck's
of me.
Sake. I'm going to turn...
90-93, baby.
I'm going to turn 29 next month. Nah, more November.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah. But it'll be fun to do a podcast on my birthday.
That'll be nice for you, yeah. I'll get a little cake on my end to show you, and then I'll eat the cake in front of you.
Well, at least we'll have something to talk about in the intro. I think we're starting to... not have anything to say anymore.
Oh, hey, come on. I've been watching films. I've got mango down my socks. I've got tricks up my sleeve, man.
Sorry, what I meant was I've got fuck all to say.
Do you have a tagline?
So, Stu, I want to say this. You know how last week's episode I was hungover?
Yes.
Well, this is how we peek behind the curtain. We record two episodes in the one day, so I'm still hungover to fuck, guys. I wrote my plot when I was steaming, just like I wrote last week's Roger Ebert review when I was steaming. So this is all new to me again, my taglines. I didn't even write dialogues on it to improv that.
Brilliant.
My bonuses are awful. So I'm going to hit you with my taglines, which reading them now, they're fucking garbage. Hot trash here. First one... He said he'll be back, and he is.
That's funny.
Second...
I've just got he's back as one.
Well, that's in the same vein. My second and final one, revenge is a dish best served in two portions.
So you can have one dish of it and then put the other one in the fridge for the morning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, have a wee lunch out of that.
We've got guess who's back again, tell me he's back, tell your friends.
I like that a lot.
I've got simply the bitch is back. And then, well, he's back. But the actual one I've seen on the poster is, it's nothing personal.
Oh, that's a pish tagline.
Shite, innit?
We need to contact these big production companies and say, where are you going for your marketing, right? We got a couple of marketing guys here.
All right.
Because we've got great taglines. He said he'll be back.
Andy is. Andy is, okay?
Andy, .. Andy is, okay? 2 exclamation points, there you go. Revenge is a dish best served in 2 portions.
Gold. That might actually be a tagline for another film.
G-O-L-D.
That's the tagline to Goldeneye, okay? Goldfinger.
I think the wee baddie in that probably did sound something like that.
Who is the baddie in Goldeneye again?
I don't think I've ever seen those ones. Those gold fingers.
Really? Those were the ones that were out when we were young, Steve.
Were they?
Goldeneye was massive.
Who was the Bond in there?
Brosnan.
No, that wasn't the Goldeneye, was it? He was like the fucking shiters, Tomorrow Never Dies, etc.
Well, he was in that as well, sure. Goldeneye was his first one. Maybe you're thinking of Goldfinger, which was Sean Connery.
I'm thinking of Goldfinger, yeah.
A lot of gold kicking around.
There was Man with the Golden Gun. Loved a bit of gold. Bond.
You must have seen Goldeneye.
Never have the N64 game. My mate had that, so we played that a lot.
Yeah. I played the
game.
That game
was class.
And I also played the game, The Man with the Golden Gun, because Odd Job was in it, and he threw his wee hat, and you could cut off.
Is that not in
Golden
either?
Oh, is it? I don't know. Fuck no.
I mean, if we can't remember an episode of our own podcast from about 12 weeks ago, what chance have we got? Do you want me to go for my dialogue scenes, or you need to make yours off the dome, so maybe give you a bit more thinking time?
Go for it, yep.
This isn't my actual dialogue, but I have "I want you clothes, your boots and your motorcycle." But is that from the first Terminator?
Yeah, I think that's
I just saw him on his bike on the poster and I thought, I'm having that. But then I thought, was that in the first one? I don't even remember.
I didn't even look at the poster, I forgot.
So I've basically got two bits of dialogue, so I'll just give you them both, take your pick. The second one relates to my plot, and I'm actually really embarrassed about my plot this week. And it's one of those ones like the Babadook where you'll guess my plot right away from what I've said, I think.
Okay.
So, first one is, "You thought you defeated me. You were wrong." Okay. Second one. Okay, so he's got his gun up like that, like he's in his plane in Top Gun with his two hands on it.
Yeah. Shooting into this
which
guy.
Is such a funny image, by the way. And he's in a house and he's creeping around the corner and he goes, "Come little baby." Oh my god. "Come little baby." Oh, it's gone Cockney. "Little baby."
"Little baby, up the apples and pears."
I thought I did okay with the first one, actually, for me. "Come little baby, don't be shy."
I can
That's
see
what he
it
says
happening
with his gun.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to have to head it off the dome. So in my plot, I think he's going to be... It turns out he's a goodie, so he's chasing Sarah Connor, and she's running... They're having a big car chase, or screeches. And he corners her, and he walks up to her really scary, and she thinks she's about to die, and he says, "Please forgive me, I am good now." And she says... okay.
It's not great screenwriting so far.
She says,
"Not got a knack for dialogue."
Me? Come on.
Yeah, I'm good now. Come on.
This is off the dome.
Maybe slightly subtler than that.
Right. Okay. How about this? "Please forgive me. I'm changed. I have changed." And she says, "Prove it." And he goes, "I won't kill you."
The end. And then they run off into the sunset together.
Yeah, hand in hand, the school bell
prom bell rings. that's funny. Any actors, Steve?
Arnold Schwarzenegger. Pretty confident mm-hmm. with that. And...
Yeah, what about ones over and above people who were in Terminator 1?
Lawrence Fishburne.
Nice.
What are you giving it?
Well, you'll see what I've done. I've gone for Tim Robbins and Val Kilmer.
Danny DeVito?
No, but I tell you, I nearly put in Christopher Lloyd. Let's just say Christopher Lloyd as well from One Flew and Back to the Future.
I'm going
to
say Christopher
Because when it comes to films
Walken.
Of that era, they're the only people I can think of. It sounds like I'm at it, and I kind of am, but I can't think of anyone else that would be in movies around that time.
Yeah.
Christopher Walken.
He was
on... You know, I was on his Wikipedia page only today.
And was he in it?
His mum was Faye Easterhouse.
Nah.
Swear to God. She moved to America, obviously.
You kidding on?
I'm not kidding on. I saw that from friend of the show, Darren Connell, did a Facebook status about it.
That's amazing. Christopher Walken from Easterhouse.
Character names?
Terminator. Sarah Connors.
Fuck off.
Theodore.
Is that a new one or was he in,
that's
was
my,
he in Ep 1?
That's a new one. Theodore's a new one for me.
I've got John, Johnny, Casper, Jasper, Amanda and Stacey.
Come on, it fucks, dude.
John is the kid.
John, Johnny?
So I'm thinking John will be in it this time. Johnny has paid out for me in the last 2 weeks with Dirty Dancing and Mean Streets, so I just want to keep that run going. You can't drop Johnny when he's on that kind of form.
If you say John, I'll give you Johnny. Do you know what I mean? I'm not that harsh.
Okay, just want to make sure. And then, I don't know, Casper, Jasper, why not? Amanda, and then Stacey. Stacey's a name you put in a lot of things.
Yeah, I think it was Stacey.
This comes back to prom night again, because I was laughing so much I never pulled you up for it properly, but I'm pretty sure your character was called Stacey and the teacher was called Miss Stacey.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah.
See, I just thought, you know, it's time for me to include a Stacey in there.
Do you have a plot for me?
It's slightly later in the 80s than the first Terminator. It's the Terminator again, and this time he ain't gonna muff it up. Global mega tech leaders Skynet have made a few tweaks and sent Termi 2.0 back in time for one final mission. New and improved, same great taste, zero sugar. After being outsmarted by Sarah Connors in the first movie, Skynet turned their attentions to little baby John. Terminator was outsmarted by an intelligent woman, but surely he can outwit a baby. I wouldn't bank on it, because there are heaps more of these films, as I forgot when I predicted he would blow his own computer brains out in the first installment. In short, we'll see many nods to the first film, and as John Connors is an even more common name than Sarah Connors, it's going to take him a while to get through that AA book. That's not even right, is it? Yellow Pages. Sarah and baby John will basically move around the country hiding from the Terminator, but when he's vrooming after them on his little bike, Sarah will outsmart Termi by having a fake baby that she offers up as a decoy before fucking him up and dumping him in the sea. The end.
Gives him a fake baby?
A baby that's got like enough tech in it to trick the Terminator into thinking that he's back to kill baby Hitler, essentially, is this plot.
Yeah.
And she's going to outsmart him by having a fake baby. And then he's going to die in the sea this time. That'll fuck up all his computer shit inside him.
Right, instead of... Because fire didn't stop him, but the sea might. Earth, wind and fire. Maybe it can blow him away.
Terminator 3. Yeah. A gust fucking takes him out. It's blowing a hoolie out here, man.
It's raining cats and dogs. Right. Okay.
Yeah, Terminator 3 takes place on the west coast of Scotland.
Trun Beach. So the first time I read my plot was in a wee northern Irish accent. So I was going to give it another one. And like I said, I wrote this when I was steaming and I've not read it back, so probably won't be good.
Well, if it makes you feel better, I was Stone Cold Steve Sober when I wrote my absolute piece of hot garbage. It
does make me feel a bit better, yeah. It's Los Angeles, it's 2030, and one bad robot is about to turn good. Everything seems fine. Sarah Connor gives birth to her son. The planet is safe. Or is it, ? The machines catch wind of the Terminator's failure in the first movie, so they send another cyborg to kill the infant baby. But as they stopped him the first time round, this doesn't read well.
It's good that they've caught Earth, Wind and Fire of it, though.
But as they stopped him the first time round, the future has been altered slightly and the humans have a bit more sway over the world. They managed to reprogram the original Terminator and make him good and go off to fight the new baddie for them. They eventually fight each other. It's a Mexican standoff between two indestructible hunks of metal. But obviously the baddie is destructible and Arnie destroys him. That actually says Sarnie in my plot.
Little bacon Sarnie, sort you out, boy.
Yeah, a bit of tomato ketchup. Don't know if they say that. The world is safe yet again until the next movie, the end.
Nice. Was the Mexican standoff thing just an excuse for you to get a 2-for-1 on your The Good, the Bad and the Shite jingle?
Absolutely, man. I didn't just make that for one stinking episode, Stu. Any questions?
No, I'm not sure if I wasn't listening or I just was confused. Or I don't want you to go through it again, but I couldn't repeat any of what you just said. The gist is he goes good.
The gist of it is the humans make the old Terminator good and there's this new bad Terminator.
How?
You know, because they've got sway again. Because the wee baby survived.
Imagine that was like a device the filmmaker used to explain away plot holes. Like, why did this happen? Oh, well, they had sway. It's got fucking sway, man.
It's got a bit of sway, you know.
Any bonuses?
Yep. Three absolute shiters. One, Arnie's arse.
Little nod back to the first one. Oh, we saw his little pecker in the first one as well. Maybe we'll see that.
I would love to see his little dick again flapping around.
Maybe that's one of the improvements they make. He's got an absolute giant monster cock.
Maybe. Or maybe he's been injecting steroids and it shrivels up like a little baldy half incher.
That should be a new thing, trying to get Baldy Hoff into every episode. My first bonus is we'll start in the dystopian future again before going back in time for the rest of the movie.
I have got some really obvious product placement.
I've got, we'll see the face of Skynet this time. There'll be more info on them up close rather than talking about them in abstract terms.
My last one is, it starts off with a bit of text, like in the first one.
It'll just be like a dot 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 of what's been going on in the Terminator universe since the last film.
Like we said, look, there's no point of spending 10, 15 minutes explaining what happened. Just put it in a wee bit of text, it's fine.
Since they were in the first date's restaurant, Terminator and Sarah Connors went for another date and then parted company. I've got the final chase scene will largely be on motorbike.
Well, is that just off the posters too?
Of course.
Okay.
What are you basing this off?
Well, I didn't even fucking look at the poster this week because I was too steaming and stupid. I'm quite looking forward to watching this one.
Me too. I enjoyed the first one.
Yeah. Also, there's we done One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. There's Nurse Ratched has her own spin-off on Netflix now. Ratched. What is it? Nurse Ratched?
Nurse Ratched and Clank, I think, is her full name.
Great wee... That was a wee game, wasn't it?
Yep.
Ratched and
Better
Clank.
Ratched and Clank never hurt no one.
I was more of a Crash Bandicoot man.
Me too. I never had Ratched and Clank. Better Rayman.
Oh,
everybody loves Rayman.
Just a wee floating head in a body and wee hands. What was the point of that? What was he?
That's a good point. Email us in if you know what Rayman was.
Yeah, if you've got a clue what Rayman was.
He just sort of fannied about Rayman.
Yeah, I don't even remember if there was a story.
It's turned into a sort of early 2000s nostalgia podcast, this.
It has, yeah. I like it.
I'm not complaining.
Tamagotchis, you know.
I could go on.
I'm not going to.
I feel like when we're talking about Ratchet and Clank, it's time to go into the part two, you know?
I think so, yeah. Okay, nice to see you.
Enjoy the movie, Steve.
Enjoy the movie.
Nice to see you too.
See you later. Enjoy, guys.
You sounded like you were actually hanging up on me there. You know, this is like, we can keep chatting.
And we're back. We just watched The Terminator 2, Judgment Day, Deep Blue Sea. Here is a wee synopsis for the people who have not seen it. A Terminator is set out on a mission to kill Sarah's son, John Connor. However, another cyborg who was once after Sarah's life has now been assigned to protect him. What did you think, Stu?
Well, it was too long, obviously. Let's get that out of the way now.
2 hours.
But 20 hours. I liked it. It was fun. I would honestly say Terminator 2 Judgment Day is the epitome of the daft laugh.
Oh, aye. It's a daft laugh. Trope City.
This film was daft.
It was
good. And I loved it.
Good bit of fun.
Whenever that other cyborg guy was killing someone with his stupid finger, that made me laugh so much. Pew!
Pew!
Turned into a Pinocchio sword. Finger. I thought that was class. I loved that.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Liked that a lot. Yeah, I really enjoyed it as well, actually. I really liked the first one. Liked the second ones, you know, much of the same thing going on, but...
We can only assume they're going to keep getting better. I keep seeing adverts for there's one on Sky, like 2 years ago. It's called something like Terminator Dark Fate or something.
Aye, I've seen that.
Imagine how good they are by now, Steve.
Oh my God. If it's anything, yeah. If it just keeps continuing to go, we're breaking the 100% threshold in Rotten Tomatoes.
I was going to say, yeah, it's probably on about 140% by now.
Aye, it was a good bit of fun.
There was a hell of a lot of explosions.
Oh, loads of explosions.
Some of the best explosions I've ever seen, actually.
Yeah, yeah. I like that good mad explosions. Liquid metal guy melting and then... I like when he shattered. Office.
Yeah. I thought he was Romeo Dunn then, but no.
No.
Straight back to life.
Exactly.
I just meant to sell a puddle. Don't worry about it.
So, like, you know how the first Terminator was kind of killed? Well, they thought they killed him in fire and it didn't work, but this guy was melted in liquid... molten lava or whatever the shit that was.
Yeah. What's your question?
How is that? Because this guy's meant to be indestructible. Like, this guy, like...
Yeah, I was thinking, how are they going to kill this guy? Because it doesn't seem to matter what you throw at this punk.
Yeah.
He can just reassemble himself.
He's liquid metal. Like, the liquid fire, whatever the shit that was, lava, was contained in a metal container. How is that stronger than this liquid metal guy?
Yeah, these are the kind of questions I was having at the time, but I just thought I can't be arsed even thinking about it anymore. But I get your point, yeah.
Like, surely, you know, that would melt through that metal. It would have to be a volcano if we're trying to be, you know, you'd need to go into fucking... I can't even name a volcano.
This isn't a volcano podcast.
Any famous volcanoes?
Is Vesuvius a volcano, I think?
You're asking
maybe
the wrong
it's a
guy.
Mountain, I don't know.
Mount Vesuvius.
No, that did cross my mind, because he'd withstood so much.
Yeah.
Well, part of me was thinking, is the little pool of fire going to be enough?
Surely when they cool that fire, then he'll just come back to life.
Yeah, I was thinking that. I was thinking maybe it will kill him for a bit, but, you know, as soon as the lava escapes the confines of that metal box or whatever, he's just going to, you know, back into his full...
Aye, exactly.
Yeah, I think he's one of the best villains ever. I mean, they don't make him like that anymore, Steve. I feel like at the pitch meeting nowadays, if someone's like, right, I got this idea, right? he kills with his fingers. He stands next to you. Pew! Finger through the head.
Straight
like,
through your
what
head.
What are you talking about, Kevin? Did you get hired on this movie? But that is what the punters want to see.
That's what they want to see. They want a liquid shapeshifter, and they want it now. And I want it.
Yeah, there was a lot of laughs in this film, I thought.
A lot of good laughs.
You what, the only thing I didn't enjoy, bar the running time, and, it, you know, I think it's a frequent bugbear of people, but... The kid was fucking annoying.
I hated that little prick.
I wanted him to get the old finger treatment through both eyes. Pew!
Yeah. I was trying to figure out, so in the first one, did we ever see him as his adult self?
I don't think so.
Right, okay. Because I was thinking, how could he be such a prick but then be the saviour? I hate little dicks like that, you know, just arseholes in school.
They always have to be that character, don't they?
Aye, they grow up and then they've got it all sorted out for themselves. Like, you can't have it both ways. You can't be a prick in high school and then be, you know, have it all going on in later life. It's one or the other.
One or the other, yeah. You're either a big name at high school and then you live a tragic life thereafter. Or you're a bit of an in-betweener or a nerd at school and then you get your shit together.
Exactly. That's the way it
should
be.
You can't be a little wisecracker and then leader of the rebellion. Yeah. I'm not having that.
I'm not having that either. James Cameron. But apart from that, great laugh.
Great laugh. Should we come on to points?
Let's come on to the points. I think in the first section we said that I got the year right.
Yep, and I think the Rotten Tomatoes. Was that right?
I said 98 and it was 93.
Yeah, I said 81. Did you get a half point for that?
Yeah, so that's 1.5-0.
Yep.
I said he'll turn good.
What's the phrasing you've got? He'll turn good.
I said it's LA, it's 2030, and one bad robot is about to turn good.
Okay. Okay, 2.5-0. I've got, after being outsmarted by Sarah Connors in the first movie, Skynet turned their attentions to little baby John.
I don't think it was Skynet that turned their attention, was it?
Yeah, it's them who turn them. It's them who are in control of the robot uprising and they send the guy back.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, okay.
Do you think
that.
Skynet, the broadband provider? Jane, that's who I'm talking about.
Plusnet.
Imagine the whole thing was, yeah, like a really hamily done product placement for Plusnet.
Yeah, is that the big Yorkshire one?
That guy who's basically Jason Manford guy.
Aye.
Yeah, I think so. I've been with Plusnet, awful. I've got my own problems with my current providers, Pop Telecom, which will be touched on in Alfred's review. Fair warning. That's got to be a point, no, that they turn their attentions to John?
Yeah, I'll give you that, okay.
2.5-1.
I've got, well, I said it was set in LA and it was.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay, 3.5-1. I've got, we'll start in the future again before going back for the rest of the movie.
Did we?
Yeah.
Okay, you get a point then. I've got, they send another cyborg to kill child.
Did you write it wrong or did you read it wrong? Because that doesn't sound like what you actually wrote.
Well,
to
what
kill
I wrote...
child. It sounds like you're tarting it up in the edit.
What
that's what it sounds like. It sounds like you're at it.
Send fair. Another cyborg to kill baby.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know...
To put baby in the corner.
Yeah. Not, yeah, they don't kill baby. Jones.
Yeah, that's the point, isn't it?
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming. I think that's almost suspicious, Steve. I've got...
I just thought that's what would happen in the first one.
I said that we'll put a face to Skynet this time. There'll be more information on them up close rather than speaking about them in abstract terms. And that's true. We saw the designer himself.
Oh, yeah, man with the computer chip and that.
Yeah. King nerd.
I felt sorry for his wee... just him in general. Just had to blow himself up.
He didn't know that the work that he was doing in decent intentions was going to take on a life of its own and ruin the planet. But in defense of Sarah Connors, she does know that.
She does.
And that's
know.
More important. So,
if someone shot you through your window and came into your house and said, by the way, you've invented this thing that kills billions of people, so that's why I need to kill you, would you have that? Would you genuinely have that?
I think I'd put up a fight.
Aye. I'd be like, shut the fuck up.
I'd be like, firstly, can I see two forms of identification?
Yeah.
From you. Sarah Connors, if that's your real name.
Yep. Because, I mean, if she can prove that, if she's got her passport and driver license there, I'd even accept a student card.
A recent bank statement, you know.
Yeah, proof of where she lives.
Address.
Proof of address.
But this is, I mean, that's actually central to a lot of the movie, is that she's incarcerated at the start because she's seen as mental for telling the truth.
Yep.
But in fairness to those authorities, it does sound mental.
It does sound mental. If someone said to me just now, oh, I'm back for the future and everyone's dead and, you know, your Motorola takes over the planet, I'd be like, shut up.
For a fully polyphonic future.
Yeah. I know we speak about polyphonic ringtones a lot, but I had a thought. It wasn't always polyphonic ringtones. Remember monophonic? The even worse version?
Polyphonic, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't in my head now work out what the difference would be, but if I heard them, I would agree that the polyphonic sounds more impressive and modern.
It is, it's got layers. Polyphonic has like wee sort of layers. Like monophonic
is like beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, it's very just one tone. Beep, 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 like that. But monophonic.
They all basically sounded like the dial-up tone.
Beep, 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 beep. It's going under, you know, you've got your percussion in there and stuff.
Let's not lose sight of what came before.
Yeah. Mono, one. Poly, several. That's what it means.
And it's like the Terminator films. They're just going to keep on getting better. Now we've got real music. Ringtones, actually, if we're going to get into it, came round. So you had monophonic, then polyphonic, and then people had songs as their ringtones, and now everyone just has the iPhone Kalimba or whatever it is.
It's gone back. It's gone full circle.
I know. It comes full circle. It's only actually boomers now that have songs.
Yeah. Have you ever heard someone's ringtone as a song?
Like, I want to dance with somebody. And then you can hear them fumbling for it in the back. Flip that leather. You know, they've always got the leather, like it's like in a book.
Yeah.
You know, like I call that the leather mum flap.
Aye, that's the maw flap. Aye, my mum's got that.
Everyone's mum's got the maw flap. They fold it underneath the phone.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello. Like, folding it over, hitting it with the one finger to press answer.
Yeah, you only need one finger.
You do.
Glasses under the end of the nose. Like you trying to find your point earlier. Just one finger.
One finger's all you need. No thumbs involved. No thank you.
So did I get a point for that we'll see the face of Skynet?
Yeah.
So I think I'm on three.
Three and a half, three.
Yeah, I think I'm in trouble town here.
I said they managed to reprogram old Terminator.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, was he actually literally the same Terminator, or was he just a different Terminator that they've sent back that's identical looking?
No, it was the same one that's reprogrammed.
Either way, I'm happy to give a point for that, because that's basically semantics at that point, isn't it?
Yep.
I wish it was my film with the decoy baby and she dumps him in the sea. I think that sounds class.
We decoy.
You win it, Steve. Have you got any haymakers?
I've got one final haymaker for you to just put you in the canvas. Arnie and new robot have Mexican standoff, but Arnie destroys him.
Yeah, sure. Ding, ding, ding. I'm out.
Yes!
Steve Buchanan, who I can only assume has already seen Terminator 2, wins this week.
It's very simple. Once you've seen the first one, you can see what's happening, Stu.
Well,
come on.
Arguably, I got further away than I would have done had I not seen the first one.
Arguably, your first one was closer than your second one for the second one, because your first one was, you said he would blow his own brains out.
He would gain sentience, yeah.
And he technically did kill himself.
He gave
Sarah the permission to kill him.
So what, I get half point?
Do you fuck? I win.
So magnanimous in victory, Steve. Shall we come on to our critics' reviews?
Yes, please. Have you got your man there?
Let's see if he's here.
Alfred Sheen.
Well, he's certainly knocking at the door. Well, someone's knocking at the door. Let's have a look.
Do you know what's funny? We always ask if they're in, then they knock. It's like, why don't they knock and then we say, come in?
They've got a cup at the door listening for their moment.
And then surely, once we say, are you there, they would just walk in instead of knocking
first.
Yeah,
it's very odd. The whole
very
thing's
strange.
Weird.
Very strange, yeah.
Let's hear what Alfred has got to say.
Alfred Hitchcock's here with a review of Terminator 2. This week I've been reading about Zen meditation, which was useful when I first saw that the film was 2.5 hours long. The old unenlightened Alfred would have hated this. However, the new Alfred has come to realize that the only time that truly exists is the present. And with this truth comes the realization that all films are the same length. They are now. Immediately before the film, Chelsea let me down by failing to beat a piss-poor West Brom side. Again, the old me would have been angry at the spinelessness of Frank Lambert's men costing me a tenner. But as the whistle blew, I knew that in that moment the game was in the past, and the past doesn't exist. So I accepted and moved on.
No need for a pause there.
I ordered a curry off Uber Eats as I had a 50% discount code. When it arrived and was missing one of the dishes, I was not instantly enraged the way I might have been in the past. I made peace with it, especially when I checked the order before I was gonna phone the restaurant and realized it was actually my mistake. I forgot to add the dish to the order. When the film kept buffering due to my shitty cheap internet, I should have used these moments as an opportunity for tranquility, though by this point I must admit it did drown me. Even His Holiness the Dalai Lama himself could not withstand the bandwidth speeds of my broadband provider. In short, the tikka masala was nice, the movie was a daft laugh, but the kid was a wee fanny. 9 orange robes out of 10. Now,
a wee fanny.
Thank you, Alfred.
It was a wee fanny, Alfred. You're right.
He's a wee fanny. What about your guy, Egbert?
Egbert, are you there? Again? Why are you knocking,
you come,
Egbert? Morning. All right, boys. How's it going?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Ah, good. Well,
you
I'm
feel
not
a bit more like yourself this week.
I'm not actually that good this week, Stu.
Hey, what's up?
Well. I actually found the podcast, right? I hadn't listened until this far. I found it, and I realised yous have been slagging me behind my back.
I wasn't sure if you knew it was a podcast, Roger. I thought you were just...
I didn't think it was.
Meeting up with Steve, no?
Aye, Steve just said, come on, talk to Stu. I don't know why there's a microphone here. He said we're not recording. Someone sent me it in a WhatsApp group. And I said, what's this? And then all I hear is you slagging me off. I'm not happy.
Well, in my defence, Roger, you are an absolute piece of shit in some regards.
I can't argue
quite
with that, Stu.
Quite tiresome company. And as Steve said last week, at least he knows it, you know? At least you know you're a wank.
I do know I'm a wank. You're right, Stu. Aye.
And you admit yourself that you outstay your welcome. And these are the only points that I really pick you up on. Other than that, I've got no problem with you, really.
That is true, Stu. I'll hear that.
I'd love to have access to the WhatsApp groups you're in, by the way.
Oh, it's just me and Alfred. I say it's a group, it's two people.
All of his are voice memos, yeah.
Aye. You know, two is a
one
crowd,
of those people you text and then you text them and then they give you a 15-minute voicemail you got to listen to. Absolute nightmare.
Oh, it is a nightmare, especially with Alfred, with his wee monotone voice.
This is
voice.
The thing. Exactly. It's like pre-polyphonic, his voice. And the thing is, he doesn't know that he's a wank like you do.
Exactly.
He doesn't know that he outstays his welcome. He's got no self-awareness.
He's not become sentient yet, I don't think.
Exactly. He's giving it big talk about Zen. He's fucking clueless, this guy.
Yes, he's clueless. That's another Roger. Movie as well. Right, okay.
I already know what you think about Clueless. I'd like to hear what you thought about Terminator 2.
Well, I'll give you it, Stu. Here we go. Okay. To many, Arnold Schwarzenegger is known for his world champion bodybuilding. To me, he's known for his world champion body of work in building believable characters. The second installment of the sci-fi action franchise brings with it new unstoppable cyborg is set out to kill a child who is destined to be the savior of the human race. And just like a 100-meter race, it was full pelt from start to finish.
Arne Dazzles is the titular Terminator, which is an apt name for him because he absolutely killed on screen. In the words of the man himself, I'll be back again and again to watch this bloody movie because I loved it so much. Roger rates this certified deviled eggs 7 eggs out of 8.
Lovely, Roger. I enjoyed that. I've never quite known what deviled eggs are. Can you enlighten me?
They're like you have to, you bake them, I think, or you boil them, and then you half them, and you put wee things on it. Something like that.
Wee things. All right, great. Thank you, Nigella. Bake or boil the eggs, cut them in half, and then put wee things on them. That'd be more clear.
Yeah, but just sprinkle it on them.
Maybe the legacy of this podcast will be Roger and Alfred get a cookbook. That'd be good.
That'd be great. He can give me the recipe, I'll describe it, you know.
Well, thank you for coming this no week problem. Again, Roger. Enjoyed your review. You look after yourself.
If you thought that review was bad, I had another line that I could have put in that was absolute dog shit, if you'd like to hear that.
Let's hear that, yeah. A little outtake.
Okay, what I was going to say was, Scott Rail is often heard saying, this train will terminate at the next station. Well, if this movie is that train, I hope the next station never comes.
That's good. That's gold. Why would you cut that out, Ross?
I don't know.
Don't take this the wrong way, but that's at least as good as everything you do say.
Well, fair enough, Stu.
Well, I'll see you on WhatsApp. I've added you to my group.
Oh,
me and Steve,
I appreciate all that. Let me tell you, I'll not leave you alone. Constant memes and banter for me.
Yeah, I'll have to put it to do not disturb instantly, I imagine. mute that.
I've just discovered GIFs, too. I'll send you them.
Oh, God.
Right.
Well, good to see you, Roger. You have a nice week, man.
You too. See you later. Bye.
Take care.
See you later, Roger. Bye.
There he goes. God. Do you hear that? He's digging me out.
I found the podcast. Fuck.
Imagine what we'll find out when everyone else is slagging him at all.
Imagine?
The listeners love Roger. Maybe we should give him some of that love. Maybe that would perk his spirits up.
Maybe. He responds to tough love. If we slag fuck out him, he'll come back bigger and stronger next week.
Like the Terminator.
Like Terminator, he'll come back as a liquid Roger Eggbit.
I'll FaceTime you next week and there'll be a spike through your head.
Who's with finger?
So, Steve, let's rate this mother, shall we?
Rotten Tomatoes, 79%. I am Steve B, 8.3.
For me, Rotten Tomatoes, 83%. I am Steve B, 8.5.
Wow, high praise.
It was a daft, and I cannot say this enough,
laugh.
Hi guys, Stephen Buchanan here, co-host of What's the Script. Basically, Stu's not here right now because the outro that we originally recorded has been deleted for some reason. I don't have a clue why. We recorded it on GarageBand and it's just been a bunch of piece of shit and deleted it. So I need to do a makeshift outro for you guys right now by myself. We had uploaded the episode and it seemed fine, and then a very early listener of the podcast told me that Stu wasn't there for the outro, not speaking, and the intro, but I managed to claw the intro back. So yeah, I need to record this by myself this week. So it was a belter as well. Oh god, it was an absolute belter, the original outro. You should have heard it. It was zingers left, right and centre, so you just rest assured it was gold. Basically, we just usually tell you that we've got a Patreon now. You can support us on that if you want. If you think this professionalism merits some money for a pint or whatever, chuck us some of that sweet dollar. That would be appreciated. We've got a Twitter at What's the Script _. Can follow us on our own Twitters, Stephen Bucomedy and Stuart McP _, I think. Stuart's better remembering all this than me. And also sorry for the terrible audio quality throughout the episode. It's been nightmare after nightmare this week, and I'm surprised you made it this far. So thanks very much for listening and supporting us, and we'll be back to our full potential next week, where we'll be watching another film. What are we watching? Called 2001 A Space Odyssey. That's right. So yeah, cheers guys. Sorry about that again. Goodbye.